Resurrection Sunday morning, Jesus has accomplished what he came here to do. The week prior here, and this week, we understood that Jesus was betrayed and gave his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice. He gave his life so that you and I can have life. He knew what his mission was. Yet, in spite of the agony at Gethsemane, he decided to go through with it. I don't know how many people would give their life for somebody else. Think about emotions and feelings. We must understand that emotions can make us forget some important things. Emotions are critical, but they're also important as a believer or as a person, because actually feelings and emotions can alert us to dangers or threats. God didn't give you feelings just because. Like an alarm system, emotions can stimulate discernment and the response to a person or a situation. I believe that God gave us emotions to provide us with joy. Anybody got joy today? Contentment. I believe that God gave us these feelings so that we can understand that there's more to life than just going and going and going and going and not having some form of joy. Emotions can also play a part in your faith. I want you to know there's a tremendous danger of riding the waves of ever-changing experience. Some people come to church for the experience. They don't come for the word. Some people come for the music. Some people come for whatever reason, friendships or whatever the case may be. But God has given us emotions, yes, so that we would understand that in life we have to balance it out. There's nothing like coming to a church and you leave the same. And so now there are times when the truth that we believe is not producing the facts that we want to see. We say God is this and God is that, and we were walking by faith, but sometimes it seems like we have to rely or we have to lean back on our emotions or lean back on our feelings. You see, the thing about it today, I just want to explore for a moment this scene at the resurrection. You got to know that these women are well-intentioned. I believe that most people have good intentions. I said most people. Amen. And I believe that we all have some good in all of us. There's nobody good but God. But when God saves you, there's something about you that changes. Do I have anybody? You see, here's the irony of this passage, and here's the tragedy of this passage. You see, Jesus called 12 men to walk with him. But in the end, it was the women. Come on and help me, somebody. The Bible declares that it was the women that ministered to Jesus. I'm going to say it one more time. It was the women who ministered to Jesus. And I'm getting to where I'm going here in a minute, because I want you to know that there's something about a woman who loves God. The Bible says that she shall be praised. This is not a women message. This is not a Mother's Day message. This is not a Women's Day message. But it seems to me that these women were loyal. Turn to your neighbor and say, these girls were loyal. I'm just trying to say, I ain't Chris Brown, but I'm just trying to say that these girls, they were loyal. These girls right here, come on somebody. I want to tell you, they showed up when they needed to show up. Come on, help me somebody. And this is a good lesson for us, brothers. Show up when you need to show up. Show up without being asked to show up. Come on, help me somebody. And so Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Now remember, they had 12-hour days. So don't try to go there, how is it 3 days? They had 12-hour days. That's why it's 3 days. Amen. He was all there all day what? Friday. Half day Friday, Saturday. But early Sunday morning. I said early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. And I'm not trying to go there just yet, but I want you to know that these girls, come on, say it with me. They were loyal. If you look at the text with me, you'll see. Amen. Look at verse 40. It says, there were also what? Some women looking, this is Jesus, where they were putting, when they took him off the cross, they're taking the body, and look what the text says. Text says there were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were what? Mary Magdalene. Seems like Mary is there. Now, I'm going to share with you why she was there here in a minute, okay? And Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Hosea, and Shalom. And it says, and when he was in Galilee, watch it, they used to follow him. You see that? These women would follow Jesus. Tell your neighbor, faith versus feelings. Now, when he was there, in fact, they followed. You know what I believe about people? When they don't see Jesus doing nothing else in their lives, well, what it perceives like he's not doing something in their lives, they stop following him. And I believe that that's a problem in the body of Christ today. It's like when things don't go the way we want them to go, seems as if we kind of shrink back. Amen. But these women, hallelujah, I thank God. The text says that they followed him. Not only did they follow him, but look what the text says. The text says they what? They ministered to him. Let me tell you what that word minister. That doesn't make you a minister now. It means this. It means that they served him. The word there is dachanio in the Greek. And that word simply means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And I believe that if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to have a servant's heart. Not just to take from him, but to serve him. Do I have anybody? It says, and there were many other what? Women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now, what we find in the text. Jesus is now in the grave. The question I have, and it's in scripture, where are the disciples? Well, I don't have enough time, but let me tell you, they went fishing. They went back to what they used to do. Oh, come on, help me somebody. He told them, he ministered to them, he showed them that, listen, I am going to die, go to the grave, raise again, but they still did not believe the message. I'm trying to help somebody with something. May I ask you a question? How much evidence do you need? What more do you need? Faith versus feelings. Tell your neighbor, don't let nothing stop you. And sometimes it's you that's stopping you. Sometimes you're looking for facts, but you need faith. Come on and help me somebody. Sometimes your feelings is playing tricks on you. These women ministered to Jesus, but let's look at verse 46. Joseph brought a linen cloth and took him down, wrapped him in linen cloth, and laid him in the tomb which had been hewed out in the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Now, we find that Jesus now was in the tomb. The disciples went back fishing. The women are weeping, crying. They're puzzled. They're like troubled, okay? But here's the thing about these women. They still had a plan. I'm going to say it one more time. They still had a plan. What I'm trying to say is when your faith is not working, still have a plan. When it looks like what it looks like, don't worry about how you feel. Calculate and make a plan. Do I have anybody? They had a plan. And watch this. Watch, you got to watch the text. Now let's go to verse. Let's go to verse 1. Now check it out. Now, here's my. Now I got. I'm getting deeper in my thought in this passage. Okay, I want you to show you why I tagged it. Watch this. It says, and when the Sabbath was over, remember the Jews did nothing on the Sabbath. Okay, it says Mary Magdalene, amen, and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might come and what? Anoint him. My question is, hold on a minute. See, you got to see what you don't see. And here's what I see in this text. And here's the question I ask. Did they not believe he was going to raise from the dead? Well, Jesus told them in Mark 8:31, he says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected, watch this, and be killed but raised 3 days again. That is in Mark 8. Watch this. Mark 9:31, he says the same thing. We are in Mark, aren't we? Can I ask you a question? What causes us to forget what we've learned? Listen, you come to church, you know what it is. The Lord is my shepherd. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Life gets tough, and we forget the word. And so the question I have, they said they brought spices. It cost them something. Do you see this? Watch this. He told them, listen, I'm going to die, and I'm going to raise again. And so the first thing you got to know is this. First thing you need to know is this. Check your facts from God's word. Did he not tell you that he will bless you? I'm talking about from his word. Didn't he not say that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Listen, but oftentimes we panic. I'm saying I could have saved that money from them spices because watch this, because he wasn't there. He had been gone. But these women, even though they're loyal, they got caught up in what? Emotions, in their feelings. And sometimes we get caught up in our feelings and we forget the facts. Tell your neighbor, check the facts. Check the facts, I tell you. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all said that he would die and raise again. But yet, and I'm not dogging them out. I'm not putting them down. All I'm saying, it is what it is. Tell your neighbor, check your facts. Listen, before you step out on faith and say, God told me to do X, Y, Z, pick up the word of God and say, God, I ask that you confirm before I move. Come on and help me, somebody. Some of us have made some bad decisions because we were moving on feelings. We were relying on something that's unreliable. But can I tell you something? Let me tell you what's reliable, the word of God. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Faith versus feelings. The text says, that they went and brought spices to anoint him, but he ain't gonna be there. And he had already said three chapters back, oh, I'm going to go in this grave and I'm going to raise again. I'm trying to help somebody something. Let me just put a pen right there for you right quick, because you think you're missing it. Watch this. The next time you say you're going to do something, check with God first. Check his word. And don't close it till you get confirmation from his word. Come on, somebody. Some of us are saying, I'm going to do this, but did God tell you to do that? Do I have anybody? Then text says here in verse 2, it says, now very early on the first day of the week, amen, not only must you check the facts from the word of God, listen, they got up early. They were going to go give devotion to Jesus. That even though they may had some misinformation, come on somebody, it's dark. They spent their money. They've sacrificed their life, because for a woman to approach the tomb, and here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. The tomb was guarded. Mark doesn't tell us this. Come on, help. Now, so there are some obstacles that you may face in life. But don't you let those obstacles stop you from getting to Jesus. And so not only must you check the facts, but number two, check your motives. Are you going through the motions? And that's what happens to most of us. We're going through the motions, so now Jesus is important again. Check your motives. May I ask you a question? Why are you bringing spices? Why did you come this morning? Did you come to meet your Savior because you've been meeting him before this Sunday morning? I'm just asking. Do you call on him every day or just on some days? And let me tell you something. Motives can affect your faith. And if your motives are right, God knows it. The thing about Jesus, he knows all of our hearts. And I thank God this morning that when I check my faith versus feelings, I check my motives. And my motives is this: God, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Come on, help me, somebody. The fellowship of your suffering. You are my shepherd, and I know that no matter what it looks like right now, I know I'm not moving on emotions, but I'm moving by faith. Faith is what we need to overcome just about anything that you may face in this life. These women are heading to the tomb. The text says in verse 3, look at verse 3. Look at that too. It says, very early they came in the tomb. Yep, the tomb. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now they can see. Now they have a light. But what they didn't realize in the dark, that the S-O-N had already risen. Do I have anybody? And watch this. You got to check out the text, though. Watch this. It says, now watch this. You ready? Who will roll, they said to one another, verse 3, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Let's back the story up for a minute. Was y'all going through emotions? Why didn't y'all say that in verse 1? See, this is how feelings work, y'all. This is why people run down the aisle and they join a church, right? Or they make an emotional decision in church. Watch this, because they haven't really, really, really checked the facts. They're moving on emotions, like, for real. Like, did y'all not think about the stone? Now, what obstacles did they have? They had the soldiers. They had to seal, because once it was sealed, if you broke that seal, you die. Come on, help me, somebody. So you had the soldiers, you had the seal, you had the stone, and they didn't have the strength. Come on and help me, somebody. Okay. But they're going to the tomb. They brought the spices. Y'all follow me on this? And they're heading to the tomb to do something, what? That's impossible. Can I ask you a question? What are you facing right now in your life? What seems so impossible? Now watch this. You're heading in that direction, right? But you're not heading there by faith. You're heading there by feelings. But I want you to do something for me today. I want you to turn that thing around and start walking by faith. I want you to start saying right now, yes, I know that there's an obstacle. I know that there's a situation that looks difficult for me. But I want you to approach your tomb by faith. Now, the text says that they asked the question midway. So the next thing you got to do is you got to continue to trust God even if you get back in the flesh. See, they had a flesh moment there. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Pastor, I'm a pledge. Come on. Come on now. I'm a pledge. Yeah, we need $1,900. I'm a pledge. And then by the time you get to your car, like, what the heck did I do in church? What? Wait a minute. That wasn't me. I need to call Pat, Pastor. You know, I think I made a mistake. You see, that's how feelings work. But if you open your mouth and say, this is what it is, in the name of Jesus, I want you to continue no matter how difficult it may seem. Yes, you may have obstacles, and it's not that you're ignoring the obstacles, because the question was asked. They said, who? Now, it was just them. So in spite of their who, and knowing that there was nobody there to help them, could it be? Could it be? Tell your neighbor, you got to keep trusting God. Even when the flesh tries to, even when logic, even when, come on somebody, feelings, even when emotions, even when it doesn't look right, sometimes it just ain't going to look right. Sometimes it's just not going to look the way you want it to look. But you ask the question, their concern came up at the wrong time, but I love this, they kept on pressing on. Do I have anybody here today? My question is, why does these questions come up after we step out on faith? So what I mean is, if you don't check the facts first, then you're going to miss something, and then you're going to say, man, I think I got to backtrack on that. And then I start asking question, who? It's going to roll away the stone. Look at the text. The text says that they were asking this question. Watch what happens now. So you continue to trust God even if you get back in the flesh. Verse 4 says, look at verse 4. It says, looking up. Now, this word looking, it's not the word blepo, which means to see. This is a different word. So here's the thing. Emotions will cause you to see things differently than faith. And so this word, when it says they looked, the word means to recover sight, to regain sight. And so what I say to you is this, amen. If faith versus feelings, I say to continue looking through the lenses of faith. Faith when you approach the most difficult situation in your life. Faith when you arrive at the place where you are. You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you you're not good enough. They're going to tell you you can't do it.
They're going to tell you it's too hard, that you need this, that. And you notice how the enemy works? He starts listing all the most difficult things that you can imagine. Watch this. When you arrive to that place, but I want to tell you, it's time to recover your sight. It's time to start seeing through the lenses of faith. Because when you start looking through the lenses of faith, you can see the impossible. The beautiful thing about our God, I know, is that this. If they saw the soldiers, if they saw the seal, if they saw, hallelujah, the stone, if they saw their lack of strength, watch this, they would have never seen the tomb open. I'm trying to help somebody. They're walking, planning, preparing for something that's already done. Tell your neighbor it's already done. Tell your neighbor you don't have to work that hard. The Lord has already went before you. And what he promised from his word, he will deliver. I stop by to tell you that no matter how hard it looks, you got to remember that these women going to the tomb is a great illustration for us. The fact that we can see again. The fact that God has given us spiritual eyes. Do I have anybody here today? You got some obstacles in front of you. They told you you would never make it. They told you you wasn't good enough. They told you you wasn't smart enough. They told you it's impossible to do that. You need a degree. You need certifications. You need this. You need that. But I stopped by to tell you, Jesus can help you to get to your destination if you keep looking through the lenses of faith. What is faith? Faith is the belief. Faith is assurance. Faith is your ability to see it happen before it happens. Do I have anybody? The text says that when they got there, they were looking up and they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Notice, it gives a description of the stone, although it was extremely large. Can I ask you a question? Can your feelings get you through that? No, but your faith can cause you to remove that mountain that's standing in front of you right now. Do I have anybody? When our faith is put into practice, our feelings have to take back seat. Faith means that our faith, facts, and everything is grounded in the word of God. They got there by walking by faith. But when they got there, everything was done for them by faith. Do I have anybody? They were expecting Jesus, but they got an empty tomb. Watch the text. Watch the text. The text is deep. It says they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was what? Extremely large. May I ask you a question? What's extreme in your life right now? What seems? Give me the point. Now, the next one, I think. Yeah, there it is. Can you believe that nothing, I'm saying one more time, that nothing is too hard for God? Listen, the soldiers, the stone, come on, lack of strength, the seal, and yet God defied all of the physical odds. God can heal you. Do you not know he can heal you? God can fix your marriage. God can fix your heart. God can transform your life. It is anything too hard for him. Listen,
this fact means that our faith is grounded in something. That when we walk by faith, we're believing, watch this, in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that remains today. And so what I'm saying is that God wants us today to understand this, that your feelings cannot carry you through this life. I know when you wake up some days you don't feel it. That's when you got to pray. That's when you got to press on. That's when you have to say, God, I'm trusting you. Anybody here got some obstacles in front of you right now? There's not a person in this church today who can tell me that you're not facing something bigger than you. But can I help you with something? It's not your feelings that will get you through. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. It is the fact that you understand that on resurrection morning, that he died so that we can live. That he died and he rose again. Do I have anybody? That's the story today. That my faith is grounded not just on what I feel, but on the facts that on the third day morning, he got up with all power. I thank God today that these women gave me a good look. That there are times when I arrive or I start on this faith journey. And sometimes it's not looking the way I want it to look. Every day I'm putting in the work, but I don't see it happening. Anybody been there before? But you just got to keep on keeping on. Keep pressing on. Because one day when you arrive to the place where he wants you, you will realize that he had it all mapped out for you. Aren't you glad that Jesus rose from the dead? Aren't you glad that he's not there, that he's alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father? And while sitting there, the Bible says that he makes intercession for you and I. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, our preaching is in vain. Our living is in vain. Our believing is in vain. But I'm glad that early Sunday morning, he got up with all power to allow me and you and I to walk through the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning when you don't know what to do. Keep holding on to your faith. Look at your faith. Trust in Jesus. Know this, that no matter what it looks like, he's going to make a way out of no way. Why do I say that? He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's light in the darkness. Do I have anybody here who want to shout with me, who want to give God praise on this resurrection morning, that yes, it looks bad, but I thank God that his promise is true. He said I wouldn't be there. He said I wouldn't be there. So today and for the rest of your life, I want you to call on the name of Jesus. Call his name. When you don't know what to do, say Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noonday. Jesus when you're going through. Jesus when you don't know what to do. Why? Because his name has power. Power. I said power. Power to live, power to change, power to transform. I remember what he did for me. Do I have anybody here who can say that you called on that name? It wasn't feelings, it was facts. It was your faith
that brought you this far, and it's faith that will carry you on. Thank God. Thank God that no matter what the obstacles are, the stone, the seal, hallelujah, the lack of strength, come on and help me, somebody. I know that the fact is it looks rough right now, but Jesus, tell your neighbor, Jesus, Jesus can fix it. Anybody know he can fix it? Anybody know he can fix it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? He's a burden bearer. He's a promise keeper. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will. Tell your neighbor, he will. 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 He will do it. Hallelujah. 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 They hung him high. Hallelujah. They stretched him wide. Dropped him low. Put him in a barren tomb. But early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up. He got up with all power. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad that that's just not a cliche. I'm glad that that's just not something the preacher does. I'm glad that it's a true story. Saints, some of you are living on feelings. Leave the spices at home. Just come to the tomb. I know they were well-intentioned. Some years ago, some of Buddha's fingers were sent as a gift to the Emperor of China during the Tang Dynasty. They were later forgotten, and about 1981, the finding was a sensation to the Buddhists everywhere. And the bones are now visited by many Buddhists. If someone claimed to find the finger belonging to Christ, no Christian would be saved. Because the fact is, there's no finger. As a matter of fact, there's no body. But if Christ be not risen, everything we believe is a lie. So this Sunday morning, it's not about Easter. It's about that empty tomb. Empty. No religion on planet Earth, listen to me real good. No religion on planet Earth can claim that their Savior rose from the dead. Buddha is still there. Confucius is still there. And all these other gods are still there. But Jesus, you want to use logic? Use logic if you want. I went over there last year, the year before that, and I walked into the tomb. Can I give you some news? When I walked in there,
it was empty. I got proof. It's empty. Now, may I say this to you? You know how you're able to keep going on as a believer? Because of resurrection power. Some of you trying to be free. But you can't be free because you're accessing the wrong, you plug it into the wrong thing. Drugs can take you so far. Alcohol can take you so far. You know, all this other stuff can take you just so far. And then you come to your, to the end of yourself because that's where it brings you. God is saying, you keep on keeping on, and you keep getting the same results. But if you would just try this power, take a puff from this, take a sip of this, Jesus. So my question to you today is, what's holding you up? What is it that has kept you vacillating? Up and down, up and down. You know, the thing about people, we're unpredictable. Until you get saved and you get integrity, you'll say something today and don't mean it tomorrow. Ask me how I know. I used to be that man. God saved my life. And I can stand here today and say this, I'm not 100% right. I don't get it right all the time, but I can say this. At least 73.2% time, I mean what I say and I say what I mean. And one thing I know and believe, not just be, I believed it before I got there to Israel. That tomb is empty. He said he would do that. And today, maybe you need to come to the tomb without all of your questions and all of your emotions and just say, God, here I am. I'm ready to surrender my life to you, Jesus. On this resurrection morning, it would be a great thing for you to surrender. Christians, I do have to say this, y'all. I said this on revival. You know, I wasn't. This is real. I don't know how real it is to you. But I remember the day that I opened my mouth and confessed Jesus Christ. That's been 20-something years ago. And I have not left him. I told you last week in my message, the devil wants you to forsake the assembling of yourself. He wants you to have home church. You need corporate worship. And you need a pastor. Okay, because home church ain't getting it. You're still the same. Got the Bible in one hand, you got a blunt in the other. Talking about you want to interpret scripture. Let me tell you how deep it is. Oh, it's real deep. Oh, it made me think. Yeah, that's what weed does. As a matter of fact, I'm doing something on cannabis here in a minute. It's the same thing. It gives you clear mind. Because it blocks the receptors in your mind so you can focus. Buh. You thought you were deep. But here's what I'm saying to you. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't need that anymore. I didn't. Because he was all I needed. And it's real. Has the journey been hard? Maybe, every now and then. But what he had to do, he had to purge me and clean me and pressure me to get me where I am today. And look, there's still some more he's doing in me. I had a breakdown the other day. I'm like, God, stop. I'm like, come on, Jesus, you got to do this for me. He's like, really? I got to do that for you? Okay. Tell me how good you are. See? When it doesn't go your way, what you going to do? Motives. That first, the second point. Check your motives.